Amen, amen. How are you doing today? You excited to be in the presence of God? Oh man, I am excited to start a new series. We talked about legacy last month, and today, or this series, it's going to be a five-part series called Perfect Love. And here's what I love about this series, okay? As a pastor, there's different types of series. Last month was a topical series, is what we call it. So we did a topic in legacy. So we got the whole Word of God, and we tried to find scriptural proof of how we need to live a legacy for Jesus. But now we're going to get into more of a series that just digs deep, verse by verse, in the book of 1 John. How many of you are excited about that? So we're going to actually go, there's five chapters in the book of 1 John. And so it's going to be a five-week series. So we're going to take one chapter at a time, and we're going to go verse by verse, and I hope you learned something. So mark your calendars if you want to go through an entire book of the Bible over the next 5 weeks. It's going to be good. And you can open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. While you're opening your Bibles, before we get into the Word, I just want to address something because I've been asked way too many times. I figured I would just say it up here. Okay, what do you call me? Because there's already a Pastor Randy, right? So they announced last week that I'm now a pastor. I'm still getting used to the name pastor before my name. So most people call me Pastor Randy Sean or Pastor Sean. It's up to you. I'm still getting used to the pastor in front of my name. So if you say Pastor Randy, there's probably going to be two of us turning around responding. So, but regardless, I figured I should address it up here. We're going to get into the Word of God. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you, God, for this time that we get to come here and go verse by verse in the book of 1 John and learn about what your Word is telling us, God. I pray, Jesus, that your Word would reveal itself to us, that you would speak through your Word, that you would speak through these words today that I have, that it would not be mine, but they would be your words. And I pray that there would be open hearts to receive it today. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Is everybody there? All right. And it says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light." Somebody say, God is light. A little bit louder. Come on, God is light. There you go. "In him there is no darkness at all." Verse 6, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." So let's talk about John. Let's talk about John. John is someone in the Bible who experienced Jesus firsthand. In fact, the Bible says that John was one of Jesus' closest disciples. The Bible says that even that John was the disciple that Jesus loved. So in the first four verses, I know we didn't read them, but the four verses before that, as he starts out, I'm going to paraphrase for you real quick. He basically says, "I've seen God, I've seen Jesus, I've seen those miracles that he's performed, I've heard him preach, I've heard him teach, I've touched him, I walked with him, I've experienced him. And now I cannot keep this in anymore. I need to proclaim the goodness of God." How many of you know that when God touches your life, when you've experienced Jesus, you can't help but proclaim the name of Jesus? There's nothing that can hold you back from proclaiming the name of Jesus once you have an experience with him. Amen? All right, real quick. I did this in the first service. I thought it worked really well. Okay, I'm going to have a gift for you. Everybody reach out your hand. I'm about to give you a gift, okay? All right, here it is. You have three amens this service, okay? You can use them however you want, okay? So let me backtrack. How many of you know That when you experience God, you cannot hold back. You must proclaim the word of God. You have two amens left. I'm just kidding. George, you get 10, okay? All right. So here's what he says right after that. So he says, I got to proclaim this. And then he goes into who God is. So the first thing that he does in verse 5, the first thing that he says is that God is light. That God is light. And that's the theme of today's message, is God is light. Now, light is a massive mega theme in the Bible. It is. It's all throughout Scripture. You're going to hear light pretty much almost everywhere you look, from Genesis to Revelation and so much in between. God is light. So here's what I want you to do. Next time you go home and you flip on those lights, or you're in the car at night and you turn on those lights, or maybe you're searching for something in the dark and you turn on your phone, the flashlight, I want you to remember that God is light. There are two attributes that I want to discuss today about light. There's two attributes of light. The first one is that light is healing. Light is healing. So how many of you know that the sunlight, that's the brightest thing that we can experience personally. The sunlight actually kills bacteria. It can heal skin wounds, and it can build up your immune system. So your white blood cells, they actually increase, and it defends the body against infections. So the light is healing. But here's another attribute of light, is that light is revealing. Light is revealing. That's why we do have lights in our house, in our cars, on our phones, because light is revealing. If you want to have clarity, and if you want something to be revealed, and if then you have to turn on a light. You have to have light to reveal what it is. So when John says that God is light, what does he mean? He means that God reveals all things and he can heal anyone, right? Amen? God is light. And it says in him, there's how much darkness? There is no darkness, none at all. And that's incredibly important as we walk through the scriptures today. This theme of light is so profound all throughout scripture. What you're going to see today is that I'm going to draw a correlation between physical light and spiritual light. Because the creator of the universe, the creator of the physical world, right? The creator of the physical world also created the spiritual world. How many of you know that sometimes when we're talking about physical light and darkness, there might be a spiritual, a more deeper correlation between spiritual light and darkness? Amen? The God who created the physical world and the spiritual world, you're going to see a lot of correlations there between the two. Now, here's some things that I found. How many of you read at least the first three verses of Genesis? The first three. Have you ever opened up the Bible and said, this is my year that I'm going to read the whole Bible, right? And so you go and you open Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and you're like, this is the year, God. This is the year. I'm going to do it all. This is a lot to read. And then I'm sure most of you at least read the first three verses, right? So what does it say in verse 3? It says, God said, let there be light. It's the first thing that God created. It's the first thing that God created. And I think that that says something. And I think that the Bible, you're thinking it's talking about a physical light. But I think that there is a spiritual implication there. There's a spiritual correlation between God creating light and also the correlation of his character, right? And who he is and the truth about him. God is light. Then you go all the way into the very back of your Bible. So if you finish the Bible in a year, then you would go into Revelation on the very last day of the year, December 31st, and you're thinking, okay, this is my last chapter. I've read the entire Bible. I've seen a whole bunch of illustrations of light. What does the last chapter of the Bible say? It actually says in Revelation 22, the very last chapter, it says, when Jesus comes back, he establishes the kingdom of God, and there will be only light. There will be only light. There is no darkness at all. And then it actually goes even further than that, and it says that we won't even need the sun. We won't even need the sun because the glory of God will illuminate all of creation for all of eternity. Woo! Yeah. Amen. That's the glory of God. So here we are, we're saying, okay, God says, let there be light in Genesis, and we're thinking of physical light. And then now we're over here in Revelation, the very last chapter of the Bible, and God is actually, the scripture is actually saying that God is the eternal light. He's the eternal light. It will illuminate all of creation for all of eternity. It's the beginning and the end of scripture. There's plenty of illustrations there. What about in the middle of the Bible? The theme of light actually appears roughly about 200 times in from beginning to end. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, not 1 John, but John chapter 8, verse 12, actually Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So he creates the physical light in the beginning. And then he says, I am the light of the world. And then he says, I'm going to illuminate for all of eternity at the end. You see the correlation there. He starts out with the physical light. And now we're talking about the spiritual realm that will illuminate all of eternity. And we can, you know, it's hard for us to grasp exactly what that means, that God can illuminate all of the world for all of eternity. Because the closest thing that we can think of is the sun. Right? Like the sun is the brightest thing that we can experience physically right now in this lifetime. And the thing about the sun, though, is that the sun is not perfect. It actually has dark spots. Did you know that? The sun actually has dark spots. So the sun in all of its glory is nothing compared to a God who is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. When we talk about light, we see that God is light, and in Jesus, people are healed. That the light is revealed, and that is the theme of much of Scripture. So you have this correlation, this contrast and comparison between light and darkness. So how many of you know light is good, right? Amen? Light is good. And what is darkness? Bad, right? Darkness is bad. Light is holy. Darkness is unholy, right? Light is honest and it's truth because he is the truth. Light is truth. And what is darkness? It's untruth. It's lies. It's being deceived. It's dishonesty. Light is, it helps reveal things. Darkness conceals things. Light brings life. Darkness brings death. Inevitably, if we lived without life or without light, we would go into a death cycle. Humans, plants, animals, we need the light to survive. Light gives sight. Darkness brings blindness. You see the correlation there. You see the comparison and the contrast. Light is actually safe. How many of you in the middle of the night, when you're trying to find something, you feel a little bit safer when you flick on that light at home, right? Or maybe the lights are on and it's late and there's a storm out and all of the lights, all the power goes out. How many of you feel safe in pitch black in the dark? Because you can't see anything, right? Well, light is safe. That's our Father. That's our God. He's safe. So when it says that God is light and in him is no darkness, there's this comparison and contrast between what God is like and what he is not like. And the funny thing is that much of the world actually sees that God is both light and dark. Did you know that? A lot of people see that God is actually both good and evil. Sometimes you can trust him, maybe other times you can. It's that they have this false depiction of who God is, of who his character is. And I believe that God has created two categories. How many of you believe that light is different from darkness? How many of you believe that? Amen? How many of you believe that there's a difference between good and evil? All right, I have some correlations here. How many of you believe that there's a difference between truth and lies? All right? God and mankind, creation and creator. Let me go over this real quick because I want to give you the popular worldview that is non-biblical and non-Christian. See, God sees everything in two categories. We just all agree that there's a difference between light and darkness, that there's a difference between evil and good, that there's a difference between truth and lies. It's funny because if you go to a college professor and you ask them about truth and lies, they're going to say, actually, there is no truth. It's whatever you perceive to be true is true to you. You see that? Now truth is a perception. No, that ain't right, right? Or they may see that there's light and darkness at the top. How many of you have seen the yin and yang symbol? Well, there's one circle, and it's both light and dark. It's black and white. And what they're doing, what that means is that's a worldview of saying that everything belongs together. What about God and mankind, or creator and creation? How many of you know a lot of people in a popular worldview actually believe that creator and creation, it's the same thing? It's just this force, and everybody's God, and everything is God. The trees are God. The sun is God. There's this force, and it's all one. It's all one and the same. That is a non-biblical worldview. How many of you know the lines get blurred between angels and demons? Because a lot of people will say, okay, you need to find yourself. How about you get spiritual? How about you go into the spirit realm? Well, how many of you know there's a difference? If you took angels and demons, well, they're both spirits. How many of you know that there's a danger if you go into the wrong way? There's demons and there's angels. There's a distinction there. But people say, get spiritual. You might have friends or family or coworkers that say, I'm spiritual. Well, is that the Holy Spirit? You hear that all the time, and we laugh, but it's true. It's very true that a lot of people believe that becoming spiritual is the way to God, but how many of you believe that becoming spiritual can be dangerous? What about male versus female? You see, the world, they take things, and they blur the lines between the two, and they say, just be spiritual. Okay, there's no male and female. You can be whatever that you want. There's no truth and there's no lies because what? Because it's all a perception. No, that's not biblical. And so when we look at these two categories, we can see that God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. There's a distinction that is made here. Today, rather than giving you 3 points, I'm going to ask you 3 questions. Is that okay? In your notes, you're going to see question number one. Question number one is, where do you walk in darkness? I'm going to challenge you today. Where do you walk in darkness? 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. You're going to see this if-then sequence throughout 1 John chapter 1. If we claim to have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we lie. It's kind of like people who say, I'm a Christian, I follow God, I walk in the light, but then you look at the pattern of their life and you see that they actually walk in darkness. The light and the dark, it's not compatible. It's not compatible. It's a lie to say, I'm a Christian, I walk with God, yet you live your life in darkness. Amen? It's kind of, our relationship with God is more like marriage, right? So you make the commitment to God and you become one. It's a loving, covenantal relationship, right, with God. It's exclusive, it's loving, and it's not like you go to it on your marriage day and you just make your vows and then you say, okay, see you in 50 years, right, and you go your separate ways. No, 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 no. Your relationship with God is much the same way, where invite him into your life, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and you continually walk with him throughout the journey of life. You walk in the light with him. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't see it that way, and they actually see that their relationship with God is like a tightrope. It's like a tightrope. So here it is. You're in a relationship with God, and you're like, okay, God, I'm stepping on this tightrope because I don't want to mess up. and I'm going to try to be good. And if I'm bad, if I fall, I'm probably going to hell. God, I don't want to go to hell, but I'll walk this tightrope and make sure that I don't make mistakes. How many of you know that that's not your relationship with God? It is not a tightrope, because God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgives all sin. And we don't have to be perfect, but we are made perfect in Christ. Amen? So rather than a tightrope, I think it's better to describe our relationship with God as like a father and their child. Okay? It's like a father and their child. When I know that when Cole and Riley, my son and daughter, I know that when they feel uncomfortable, and when we're in a public place, maybe we're in a crowded place, it's an unfamiliar territory, I know that they naturally want to grab my hand. They naturally want to grab my hand because they're unfamiliar. But what happens there? They naturally do that because why? Because there's safety if they can hold their father's hand. They can hold their daddy's hand. They feel safer. They feel protected. And if they just stick close to dad, then they'll be fine. I want you to know, and I want you to remember that every time when you turn on your lights at home, I want you to remember God is light. Every time that you see a child holding their father's hand or their mother's hand or their parent, I want you to remember that I can walk with God like that. I can walk with God like that. You see, John is saying, don't lie. That's what he's saying, don't lie. Okay, so if you've walked in the darkness, if you've messed up, don't lie about it and say, I'm holding my father's hand. Don't lie about it and say, I'm walking in the light. You know what you should do? Just be truthful. Just be truthful and say, you know what, Dad, I've walked away from you. Forgive me. Take my hand and get me out of this situation. How many of you know it's much better to be truthful and to repent and to hold your father's hand and say, God, walk me out of this season. I've walked away from you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I love you. You're my father. I believe that you shouldn't be ashamed if you come to that point in your life and you realize that you've walked away from God, because shame is not from God. It's the love of God who takes your hand and brings you back to where you need to be. I think there's this false narrative that says, first, I must get my act together, and then I can come to God. How many of you know that's false? What is the true narrative? No. You can't get your act together until you come to God. Because God loves us. He's our Father, and he wants to take our hand. It's, you know, if my child is lost, if a kid is lost, they're not just going to find their way out of being lost on their own. No. What happens is that the Father comes and they grab their child's hand and they say, I'm here. You were lost, but now you're found. Come walk with me. Let me lead you out of here. So it's not that you have to find your own way out of darkness. It's that the Father has found me, and I need to take his hand, and I need to take a walk with him. Life lesson number one is your walk determines your destination. Your walk determines your destination. Question number two I'm going to ask you to challenge you today is, what darkness do you need to bring to light? What darkness do you need to bring to light? 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, perhaps God is saying that there's an area of your life that maybe you must give to the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's a part of your life that you're living in darkness that needs to be brought into life. Maybe the Holy Spirit is revealing to you today exactly what that is, and it needs to be revealed and healed. God is light. God is light. You may need to give that area to God. You may need to give it up for healing. Maybe it's a dark part of your past. Maybe it's a dark part of your story. Maybe it's a temptation or a struggle that you deal with. Maybe it's a pattern that you fall into. Maybe it's a way of thinking that's not life-giving. Maybe you need to give it to God today. It's something that needs to be brought into the light and revealed and to be healed. Light is revealing and healing. So what darkness do you need to bring into the light? You see, if you think that God is both good and evil, then when you're suffering, are you going to run to him? If God is both good and evil, and you're suffering, are you going to run to him? No, right? Because God might be your worst nightmare. God might be dangerous. God might be someone that you don't trust. Maybe you don't trust him. So instead of running to a loving God, you see God falsely as both good and evil, and you can't run to that kind of God. But how many of you know that we serve a God who is all light and no darkness, and he's all love and no hatred? Amen. God is good. God is loving. God is safe. God is Father. He is not dangerous or seeking to harm you, to shame you, to punish you. God loves you. Simply step into that light. And don't be ashamed of that either. When you step into the light today, that's you trusting God and saying, God, I see you as all good. I see you as all light. When I step into you, all that darkness goes away. Amen. Verse 7 continues. It says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So this correlation, digging into this verse, this part of the verse, you're going to see how it says that we have fellowship with one another. And then it talks about the blood of Jesus. Well, what does the blood of Jesus have to do with fellowship with each other? Well, let me draw a correlation there. I don't have this in your notes, but this is a part that really got me when I was studying this week for this sermon. This is the part, if you don't hear anything today, hear this message right here, that through the blood of Jesus, we can have fellowship with one another. God is light, in him there is no darkness. God is holy, and we are unholy. God is sinless, and we are sinful. And the wages of sin is death. You following me? The wages of sin is death. This speaks of God's holiness more than any other attribute in Scripture, that God is holy. God is holy and we're unholy. So there's a problem here that we are sinful, right? And God is sinless and he is holy. There's a problem. That means that God needs to deal with this sin problem, right? There's this problem with our conduct. There's this problem with our behavior, and it's called sin. And because God is just, he has to do something about it. He has to do something about it because God is good. He cannot accept sin. He is all light. He is all love. He cannot accept sin. He cannot accept darkness. He cannot accept evil. And some actually wish that God would say, they would say this. They would say that God would say, I'm okay with evil, everyone. Okay, I'm your God. I'm okay with evil. You can do whatever you want. Some people wish, well, why is God so strict? Why does he have so many rules? Why can't God just be okay with everything and sin and evil? Well, the thing is then that would make God light and darkness. That would make God light and darkness. That would make God good and evil. And then God, here it is, God would cease to be God. You cannot have both. A perfect, spotless, sinless, holy, pure God cannot have any of that. God needs to be true to himself, but he also wants to be loving and good towards us. So how does God deal with this sin problem? Let me show you. God, he does it through the shedding of blood. So in Exodus, as you might recount in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they would actually slaughter an animal, and they would take the blood, and they would paint their doorposts with the blood of the animal. And that would allow God's wrath to pass over them. And then in the New Testament, what happens? It's very similar. They'd actually bring that animal to be sacrificed. They'd bring it into the temple, and then the priest would confess their sins into the animal, and then he'd slaughter it. And through the shedding of blood, the sins were forgiven. But how many of you know that was before Jesus came? That was before Jesus came. So there's this pattern. There's this pattern that exists that sinners need a substitute. Sinners need a substitute, and that substitute needs to die through the shedding of blood. So when Jesus came, he was our lamb without spot. He was without blemish. He goes to the cross as our substitute. God becomes man. He lives a sinless life, and he dies the death that we deserve to die. And he literally substitutes himself in our place. And Jesus literally sheds his own blood. You see, sin separates us from God and from others. Sin separates us from God and from others. So you can see why sin separates you from God, but how does it separate you from others? Well, have you noticed if you've had a friend who maybe had an experience with God and they started walking in the darkness, maybe they stop coming to church. Maybe they hide. Maybe they want to conceal their sin because they're too embarrassed, right? They're too embarrassed to come and have fellowship with other believers. But when we accept, here's the thing, if you're listening to this today, if we accept the sacrifice of Jesus, there is nothing to be embarrassed about. He already forgave our sins, and we can walk in freedom. We can walk in the light of God. We can walk in the light with God and with others, and we can have fellowship with each other. Sin has no place in the light, so we walk in the light together, and we make progress. Amen? So here's the next thing, is that when we walk in the light together, this actually helps us get honest about our own stuff. It actually helps us get honest when we walk together in the light. So we can actually come to each other and we can say, here are my faults. Here are my failures. Here's what I'm working on. Here's where I'm growing. And here's where I need to be forgiven. There's nothing to be ashamed about. I'm an imperfect human being. And verse 7 says, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What that means is that we learn to forgive one another. Okay, so, okay, you said that? You did that? Wow, you need forgiveness, but so do I. I need forgiveness because I did this and I said that. I need forgiveness just as much as you do. If you're going to be compassionate with me, then I'm going to be compassionate with you. And you know what? Let's both take God's hand and let's walk in the light together. Sin separates us from each other. It separates us from God, but we together can walk in the light towards God. What this also does is it creates empathy. So there's some areas in your life where maybe you're in the light, and then there's other areas where maybe you're in the dark and you need forgiveness, okay? But maybe your brother or sister in Christ, maybe the area where you're in the light, they're in the dark. And maybe the area where they're in the dark, you're in the light. We can help each other walk in the light. We can forgive each other and we can walk together. When we have fellowship with each other, this is what happens through the blood of Jesus. We are forgiven and we can have empathy and we can walk in the light together. But there's this religious way of thinking, and I want you to be careful here, is this religious way of thinking says, I am the light. You are the dark. Shame on you. Have you ever heard that? Don't raise your hand. I am the light. You are the dark. Shame on you. That is not the attitude that comes from someone who's been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Life lesson number 2 says, God's light reveals what his love can heal. God's light reveals what his love can heal. The third question today is, do you want to be forgiven and made clean? Do you want to be forgiven and made clean? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, as we continue, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So right here, look at this. It says, if we claim to be without sin, who do you think John's talking about? If we claim to be without sin, he's actually talking about religious people. You know, religious people who claim to be without sin, right? This is a self-deceived and self-righteous mindset. And at this church, I know that we will speak against sin, and we will also speak against religion. We're going to speak against both. Amen. Because what happens if we only spoke against sin? Well, then you get a whole bunch of religious people, right? And then what happens if we only speak against religion? Well, then we get a whole bunch of sinful people. But how about we speak against sin and that religious mindset and mentality, and we point everyone to Jesus? Amen. So he deals with these religious people. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, that religious spirit, it means, you know, that religious spirit says, you have problems, I don't. You need help, I don't. You need forgiveness, I don't. You really have a ways to go, but me, I've already arrived. So it's a good thing you have me as your friend. That's the religious spirit. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So this is a self-righteous and self-deceptive mindset. Did you know that one of Satan's titles is deceiver? And I think that this religious spirit, it really roots itself in pride. It roots itself in pride because pride says, I know it all, I'm good, I don't need forgiveness. I don't need Jesus because I'm a good person. And then the humble mindset, the mindset that comes with humility, it says, I'm going to open my ear to listen to what God has for me. I'm going to open my ear and see what God can reveal through his light, what God can reveal that where I'm walking in darkness. The humility mindset says, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I am not perfect. You see that mindset shift there? It makes a difference. It makes a world of a difference. In fact, it makes an eternity of a difference. Do you want to be made clean is the question. Do you want to be made clean? Well, here's the thing. Christianity, actually, it starts with bad news. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need a savior. I'm in deep trouble, right? So Christianity starts with bad news, but what does the gospel mean? It's good news. So it starts with bad news, but what's the good news? Jesus Christ. So there's good news. The good news says that Jesus came. He lived without sin. He died in your place for your sins. Through his shed blood, God becomes your father, and you can be forgiven. You can have a relationship with God, and you can have a relationship with his people. That is the good news. So it's good news, bad news. There's good news and there's bad news. But here's the thing. If you don't take the bad news, if you don't believe in the bad news, then the good news is something you don't need. If you don't accept the bad news, then you don't need the good news. So like, it's like, if you don't think you have cancer, then you're not going to go in for treatment. If you don't think that you're injured, then you're not going to go in for physical therapy. If you don't think you're a sinner, then you're not going to need a savior. You see how that works? We have to take the bad news because the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 9 continues it, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. That's what it says. It says he is faithful and just. God is faithful. You can talk with God. You can walk with God. You can confess to God. You can be honest with God. He is faithful. But he is also just. He never abandons you. He never neglects you, never harms you or abuses you or shames you. He's already paid the penalty. God is just. He is not angry with you. He's already forgiven you. It says that he is faithful and just. And the next thing it says is, it says, and he will forgive us. He will forgive us. Now, this is amazing. This is, I got to say, that every other religion says that you have to work. You have to earn your forgiveness. So you have to reincarnate, or you have to pay off your karmic debt, or you have to go to a holy place, or maybe you have to suffer because you have to earn your forgiveness. But where is Jesus different? In Christianity, all you need to do is believe in Jesus. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. You see, Jesus died on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. And then he died for your sins. You're forgiven. You're forgiven for everything you've ever done. You are forgiven for everything that you're doing now. And you're forgiven for everything that you're going to do. But just to be clear, a lot of people will take that and say, well, then what's to keep me from sinning? If God has forgiven me in the past and the present and he's already forgiven my future, what's to keep me from sinning? Well, the answer to that is, well, it's a loving relationship with the Father. Because if you truly know the Father, you won't want to walk away from him. You'll want to walk with him. You want to walk in the light. And if you fail or if you stray away from God, then you'll want to reconcile with him. And you'll ask for forgiveness and you'll continue on with him. What holds this Christian relationship together, this God relationship together, is not fear, but love. Because fear has to do with punishment. And love has to do with grace and with mercy and with forgiveness. See, a lot of Christians, they know that they've been forgiven. But they still feel dirty and defiled and unclean. And I want to address that today. A lot of Christians know that they're forgiven, but they still feel unclean and defiled. They feel like they're still walking in darkness, that they're still dirty. You might say, I know that I'm already forgiven, but I carry this thing that I've done or this thing that's been done to me. I have a stain on my soul that I can't get rid of, and I'm just going to have to live like that. Can I tell you that that's not the case? Verse 9 says, it continues and says, and he will forgive us our sins. And what's that next thing? It says, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness. When God purifies us, there is no darkness. There is no mess. There is no shame. There is no condemnation. Darkness cannot exist in light. In Christ, you're forgiven and you're clean. I'm going to ask you to stand together. I want to tell you today that if you believe in Jesus, you're clean. Let me say that again. If you believe in Jesus, then you're clean. If you believe in Jesus, you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what the dirty thing that you've done, and it doesn't matter what's been done to you. You are clean. Women, on your wedding day, no matter how many mistakes you made, do you still get to wear white? Yes. When you enter into that new covenant of marriage, it doesn't matter what you've done because you're making a new covenant with that person. And you get to wear white. You're clean. Your past is in the past. And in your present, you get to wear white on your wedding day. It's exciting. It's a new journey. And everything that happened in the past is no longer an issue. So the next time that you flick on those lights at home, I want you to remember that God is what? God is light. The next time that you see a child holding their father's hand, I want you to remember, I can walk with God like that. The next time that you see someone wearing white, I want you to remember, that's how Jesus sees me. I am clean. I am pure. because of Jesus, because of the blood that he shed, I am clean. Life lesson number three, it's God's light heals your past, it cleanses your present, and it brightens your future. God's light heals your past, cleanses your present, and brightens your future. If you believe this, I believe that a massive, I can't say that as a big enough word. I'm gonna have to yell it. If you believe this, there's a massive burden that will be removed from you. A massive burden. You're gonna take that deep breath and you're gonna walk into a new life where there's no longer sin and there's no longer shame and there's no longer condemnation. As someone who is wearing white, you are clean. And as a pastor now, I really, really want you to believe this, that you are clean. You don't have to be haunted by the things in your past. You don't have to walk around feeling dirty or ashamed or filthy or disgusting. Like there's something that can never come off of you. God cleanses you. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. How many of you know that we are in Christ and Christ is with us and God is light, and in him there is no darkness, and when we stand with God, all of that darkness disappears. I can get vulnerable real quick. This message was for me too, because a lot of times I feel like I'm not worthy. Like I get down on myself. I critically judge myself. I feel like I'm a pastor now, and now I have to be perfect. And if I mess up, What are people going to think? What is God going to think? Am I going to be a hypocrite? This idea of walking in Christ and being pure and being cleansed and walking in that righteousness that only God can give, you have to believe it and you have to receive it. When you walk in the light with God, God will reveal those things that only the light can reveal. But what's that next thing that we talked about? God will reveal those things, but what does God do? He heals those things. Light is revealing and it's healing. God is revealing and it's healing. God's light heals. It purifies. How many of you received that today? Raise your hand. Give God some praise.